Welcome to the Jamoti Podcast. We are all surrounded by amazing coaches and leaders. So let's get an inside look at not just what they do, but how they do what they do. After all, becoming the best versions of ourselves is Jamoti, just a matter of doing it. Coaches, we are all searching for ways to better evaluate players in order to give meaningful feedback. Over 15 years ago, I put together a test called the Jamoti Skill Rating. The JSR takes players through a series of tests involving basketball skill or athleticism, giving them one rating at the end. Their JSR rating will give you clarity on what needs to be discussed with players and parents on areas they need to focus on improving. I test our players at least four times each year. They're able to compete against each other, past players' scores, and most importantly, their past performances. If you'd like to start testing your athletes, email me at jamotipodcast@gmail.com for more information. Coach, in the world of college coaching, I can't imagine what your day looks like. It probably starts pretty early and it goes pretty late. What are some of those daily habits that have set you up for success?
Well, I don't know that I have the daily habits that have set me up for success, but I always try to wake up in the morning and probably the first thing I do is I look at my phone, make sure that nothing bad has happened the night before. Maybe I missed the text or somebody called in the middle of the night and, you know, maybe one of the players was sick or, you know, something happened in their family. So that's where I go first. I'm like anybody else, probably addicted to the phone a little bit. And then I've been able to get up in the mornings and exercise. And that's kind of helped me, especially with my family not being here. You know, normally it was me waking up the kids and helping with breakfast and getting them out the door and driving them to school or you know, whatever. And because my daughter is a senior and my family stayed in Corpus. Solo. So what I've been doing is I try to get outside and start walking about 6:30 or 6:45 in the morning and knock out, you know, anywhere from 2 to 4 miles, depending upon my morning. And then get into the office. I use that time to answer some texts maybe from the night before or some emails. I'll listen to music. I'll listen to a podcast. And then some days I like the peace and quiet, and it allows me to sort through my day. I try to plan everything out, you know, obviously in advance the night before when I get up in the morning, but it just calms my mind and allows me to think clearly about what I need to get done for that day.
What are some podcasts that you're liking right now?
Man, I'm all over the map. People will send me stuff. I like a lot of those guys, those ex-NBA players.
Reddick and them. And
yeah. I like Reddick, but yeah. I like, and I forget what it's called, with Quentin Richardson. And like the Hardheads or – yeah. But yeah, I mean, I'm just all over the map. A lot of times, though, I listen to – you know, just anything that I scroll through and find interesting. You know, if something catches my eye or I click on it, and if I like it, I listen. If I don't, I get rid of it about 10 minutes in.
I don't know if you feel this way, but dudes like Andrew Huberman, you know, those guys that are kind of in that neuroscience realm and they talk about morning habits. One of the things they always say to do is to not touch your phone, not get on it for a long time. And they always make me feel really bad because like you, Coach, I'm trying to do the 4 a.m. thing. I've been on it for 5 days straight. So if I kind of nod at any point, it's not you. It's getting up that early. But I check my phone immediately. I would have to imagine that dudes that are against getting on your phone, they don't coach. Because I feel like so much can happen from whenever you go to sleep. You get those late night texts from players or parents or emails. And if you don't check it, there's a little bit of anxiety of like, what am I missing right now? Do you feel that way?
Yeah, I don't know that I feel like I'm missing anything because, you know, obviously one of the buzzwords these days is fear of missing out. Like, I don't get into that. That stuff doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
But I think as a coach, you have an obligation to a group, right? You have an obligation to your team and to their families. And God forbid, but you know, if you get a text or a call in the middle of the night and someone's grandmother has passed or their aunt or uncle or even a mom and dad, I mean, you've got to snap into parent mode for that young person, and you've got to go make sure they're okay. And so I don't feel overwhelmed by that, you know, having to check in every morning, but also, you know, I feel like I have a sense of obligation to each and every one of those people in our organization to do so.
With your players, or, you know, at a college level, the parent interaction might be a little bit different, but do you have a 24/7 policy with them that at any point they can contact you, you do your best to get back with them? Or are there times throughout the week where you let them know, like, hey, I'm going to be out or off the map, off the grid during this time?
No, I don't know that I ever have a time that I'm off the grid or off the map, to be honest with you. You know, and that's just part of it when you recruit people and you promise to take care of their children. You know, that's the give and the take with all of it. But with that being said, I mean, I also, you know, say, hey, if there's anything that comes up, you're worried about your son or academically, or there's something that happened in the family that I need to know about, call me all hours of the night. Now, if you're calling about playing time, you're wasting your time, because we're not going to go down that road. You know, and I've set that standard or that expectation from the beginning. But as it relates to them, on a personal level and their well-being, I'm here 24/7.
Any high school experience that you have coaching before college, or do you go right in?
No, yeah, I went right in. I went right in. I did. I ended up getting my degree in education. So I have a teaching degree in the state of Texas, which is probably expired. I did do my student teaching and all of those things.
Nice.
And I did my student teaching in Seguin, when I was at Texas Lutheran, and Barry Davis was the basketball coach. Barry was a really good player at A&M and a very successful high school basketball coach. And then obviously has coached in college and his administration now. But nonetheless, I did my student teaching with him. And I like being around the kids in the classroom setting. But I didn't like, for lack of a better way to say it, I didn't like being able to have a little more control over my program.
Coach, okay. You can say it. Yeah, just say the truth. Yeah,
I didn't like the fact that, you know, some kid in my PE class could basically say, hey, no, I'm not going to walk today. I'm going to stand right here, stand right next to you. And there was absolutely nothing I could do or say, right? And
there's a lot of teachers right now clapping and cheering and amening, because we've all felt that for sure.
Yeah. And you know, and at some point, some little guy, I mean, he was, you know, and at that time I was 6'2", 205, I was in good shape still. And and this little guy is probably 5'8", 165 pounds. And he kind of threatens me, you know, and just says, hey, man, you wouldn't talk to me if you were in my neighborhood like that. And I'm like, it's not worth it to me. I'm not going to get fired over this today. So
good for you, coach, because your life would have been on a very different path if you would have acted on that feeling that day that we all have. Yeah.
I knew that it was not going to be my calling, and I was lucky enough to get into college and kind of the rest been history for me. I fell in love at that point.
And I ask that because you mentioned talking about playing time with parents. And I do think that is something that is kind of debated especially at the high school level. Like how willing are we to open up that door to them? Should we talk? I was at McKinney High School with Wes Watson, and it was very much a like hard line. We don't talk about that. When I came to Grapevine Faith Christian School, these people literally pay to be here. I opened the door to that. I guess if you could, like, what are your thoughts on, is it a good idea to allow parents and maybe players both into that conversation, or is it smarter to draw a hard line, kind of like the way you do in college with that?
Well, in college, obviously I recruit you. So, and you have a choice to come here. And the thing about Grapevine for you is they have a choice to come there. So if they don't like what you're telling them up front, then they obviously can go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Wes Watson at McKinney, he gets who's in the district, right?
Yeah.
The biggest hurdle, I think, for all of us is, and my oldest daughter played college soccer. My younger daughter, she's still in high school and she's a senior and she plays basketball. We all think that our kid is a little better than they are, or they don't do wrong when maybe they do. And it's hard for parents and myself included. I mean, and I'm a college coach to have the, take the blinders off and see it for what it is at face value. I'm lucky enough, like I said, to recruit them. And I tell every one of them, I have promised none of you playing time. So if you come in and you start as a freshman and a sophomore, and then some, you know, transfer comes in or you know, a freshman comes in behind you and they beat you out, there's nothing I can do for you other than to look you in the eye and say, hey, work harder and go kick his butt. Take his time. Get your time back. Because ultimately, every one of my, you know, decisions is centered about around Western Kentucky and making sure that we put our program in the best possible light to win games. And that means I'm going to play the best players and the guys that, you know, are into being a team and the guys that are going to do what I ask them to do. So I've got it a little bit easier probably than you. With that being said, I don't know if I was a high school coach, I would get into debating playing time. Because again, most parents aren't going to be able to look at it rationally.
I've never changed somebody's mind, coach, in all the years of having those conversations. They never went, oh, you know what? I get that, Matt.
Now, and with that being said, I've got more bodies, right? And so I've got guys that can stat every practice and stat every shot. And so I've got more statistics to be able to say if a parent ever questioned me, well, okay, your son is shooting in a 20-minute scrimmage, he's shooting 5 threes and he's making 18% of them. Well, that doesn't make sense to shoot that many threes if you're shooting that low a percentage when I have a guy over here who shoots 45% and he's only getting two attempts a 20-minute scrimmage. So, I've obviously got a little more leverage, or I've got a little more backing, you know, statistical backing to help me make my decisions and to prove those points, maybe than a high school coach.
That's a really good point. I think even for any high school coaches that do have more of that open door policy of, yes, I will talk to you about that. When I have those talks, I really like for the player to be in there so that all the stakeholders are on the same page. I don't want any messages being told differently or misread, but you nailed it. I think you got to have data. I think to go into any, even with your own players, to go in a conversation with them and just talk about your feelings or what you see. Cause even though, like, your eyes, coach, I bet are really good. You can watch a team play and you can figure out pretty quick who you need, who needs to take this role, who needs to be just like I did in college, bring in spirit and energy on the bench, you know, like that you can see that. Right. But having that data maybe helps them to that role acceptance level, to help them get there quicker.
Thank you for checking out today's episode. Please take a moment to subscribe to this podcast, share it with your fellow coaches, and find us on social media for what's coming up next on the Jamoti Podcast. It's just a matter of doing it.